So those who are in favor of closing debate on the motion, on the resolution of arts and humanities, and I'm going to try to do this time by voice vote since it came so fast, please say aye.
Aye.
Those who are opposed to closing debate on this question, please say no. The motion is carried and debate is closed. Therefore, I will put to you the motion for adoption of the resolution on arts and humanities as it was read to you and as it appears in your national plan of action. All those in favor of adoption of this resolution, please say aye. Those opposed to adoption, please say no.
No.
The motion is carried and you have adopted the first one. I will now recognize... We'll proceed then. And the chair recognizes Commissioner and Congresswoman Elizabeth Holtzman for the purpose of making a motion dealing with battered women.
The second resolution is on battered women. I move the adoption of the following resolution. The President and Congress should declare the elimination of violence in the home to be a national goal. To help achieve this, Congress should establish a national clearinghouse for information and technical and financial assistance to locally controlled public and private nonprofit organizations, providing emergency shelter and other support services for battered women and their children. The clearinghouse should also conduct a continuing mass media campaign to educate the public about the problem of violence and the available remedies and resources. Local and state governments, law enforcement agencies, and social welfare agencies should provide training programs on the problem of wife battery, crisis intervention techniques, and the need for prompt and effective enforcement of laws that protect the rights of battered women. State legislatures should enact laws to expand legal protection and provide funds for shelters for battered women and their children, remove interspousal tort immunity in order to permit assaulted spouses to sue their assailants for civil damages, and provide full legal services for victims of abuse. Programs for battered women should be sensitive to the bilingual and multicultural needs of ethnic and minority women.
Has the motion been seconded? We are then ready for debate. And I know that the people in the back are feeling neglected. I can see you. I see your cards. And you will be recognized. And let me begin then with microphone 7. Where are you? Is there anybody? 8? Microphone 7.
My name is Del Martin, delegate from California. The privacy that protects the family can also muffle the blows and stifle the yells of a violent home. According to the FBI, 1/4 of all murders in the United States in 1974 resulted from family disputes. The magnitude of violence in marriage was revealed recently by a national survey. of approximately 47 million American couples living together in 1975. It is estimated that 1.7 million faced a husband or wife wielding a knife or gun, and well over 2 million were beaten up by a spouse during the year. An additional 6 million couples will experience severe high-risk injury violence at some point in the marriage. And for one out of two couples, one or more acts of violence will occur during the course of their marriage. Wives, of course, are victimized to a far greater extent than husbands who have superior physical strength. Experience shows that as soon as a shelter for battered women opens its doors, it is filled beyond capacity and there is a waiting list. These statistics are appalling. We can no longer permit ourselves to repress the memory of domestic violence. We can no longer pretend it doesn't exist. Children who witness violence between their parents or who are victims themselves become the batterers and the victims of the next generation. We must break that cycle. So I beg you to vote up on the battered women proposal.
There are two announcements which must be made. This is microphone three for an inquiry.
Madam Chair, I'm Nikki Van Hightower from Houston, Texas. I move the question.
All right, the question has been moved. So I will put to you, all those in favor of closing debate on the resolution on battered women, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. We are then ready. Wait a minute. All you've done is close debate, you know. We have not voted on the main motion. I want to tell you why we are using voice votes at this point. This is an option. Therefore, I will put to you the question on the adoption of the resolution on battered women, which appears before you in the proposed plan of action. All those in favor of the resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The motion is adopted, and we have number two. I will then introduce to you Commissioner Ursa Poston for the purpose of introducing the resolution on business.
Chair and delegates, I move the adoption of the following resolution, which reads, the President should issue an executive order establishing a national and as national policy the full integration of women entrepreneurs in government-wide business-related and procurement activities, including a directive to all government agencies to assess the impact of these activities on women business owners. The development of outreach and action programs to bring about the full integration of women entrepreneurs into business-related government activities and procurement, and that such an executive order should establish as national policy the development of evaluation and monitoring programs to assess progress periodically and to develop new programs. The President should amend Executive Order 11625 of October 13, 1971 to add women to its coverage and to programs administered by the Office of Minority Business Enterprise. The President should direct the Small Business Administration to add women to the definition of socially or economically disadvantaged groups as published in the Code of Federal Regulations and take all steps necessary to include women in all the services and activities of the SBA. These steps should include community education projects to encourage women to participate in SBA programs, particularly minority women, including blacks, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, and Native Americans. The President should direct all contracting agencies to increase the percentage of the annual dollar amount of procurement contracts that are awarded to women-owned businesses and to maintain records by sex and race or ethnicity for monitoring and evaluation. The President should direct the General Services Administration to amend so as to include women the federal procurement regulations requiring that all firms holding government contracts exceeding $5,000 ensure that minority business enterprises have the maximum practicable opportunity to participate in the performance of all government contracts. The President should direct the Department of Labor, Office of Federal Contract Compliance Program, to assure that compliance officers monitor the awards of subcontracts in order to assure that women-owned businesses are equitably treated.
The motion seconded. A yellow card. Now these are, you remember, procedural and points of inquiry only. I see a green card, microphone 6. The chair recognizes microphone 6. Please proceed, microphone 6.
We're speaking on the resolution for business.
This is the resolution.
I am speaking against the executive order of the President solving the problems in business. Women have many problems in industry, but if you get a new president who doesn't have the same feelings as Mr. Carter, you don't know what he would do with his executive order. Women's problems in business should be corrected by the legislatures and the Congress. Thank you.
I'm looking now for a blue card. We are trying to alternate pro and con debate. Is there a blue card raised?
No.
All right. There are some points here. Microphone 2. A point of order or question?
Madam Chairman, State Senator Peg Lamont, South Dakota. I move the previous question.
The question has been moved. Therefore, I will put to you the question on closing debate on the resolution on business. Those in favor of closing debate on this resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed to closing debate on the question on business, please say no.
No.
Now I will tell you that we are now going to vote on the main motion, and I am going to take a standing vote. Those in favor of the resolution on business, please rise. Please, all right, now sit down a minute while I clear the floor. Just sit down a minute. We are now having our first, there is a vote in progress. I do not hear you. We are now having our first go at this, so I ask your indulgence. It will be necessary to clear the aisles and clear the floor. You will have to get to the back. In favor of the resolution on business, please rise. You may be seated. Please be seated. Now, I see people in the aisle, and I cannot think of any reason why there should be anybody standing at this point. Nobody should be standing. Out of the aisle. I haven't called for it yet. Those opposed to the resolution on business, please rise. The motion is carried. The motion is clearly carried. Please be seated. The chair recognizes Commissioner Ruth Abram for the purpose of making a motion on child abuse. Is there an inquiry at microphone 5?
Yes.
The fourth resolution is on child abuse. I move the adoption of the resolution, which reads as follows. The President and Congress should provide continued funding and support for the prevention and treatment of abused children and their parents under the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act of 1974. States should set up child abuse prevention, reporting, counseling, and intervention programs or strengthen such programs as they already have. Child abuse is defined for this purpose as pornographic exploitation of children, sexual abuse, battering, and neglect. Programs should, 1, provide protective services on a 24-hour basis, 2, counsel both victim and abuser, 3, create public awareness in schools and in communities by teaching how to identify and prevent the problems, encourage complete reporting and accurate data collection, and provide for prompt, sensitive attention by police, courts, and social services.
Is the motion seconded? We are then beginning debate. The chair recognizes microphone 8.
Madam Presiding Officer, I am Marianne Mahaffey, delegate at large, elected official in Michigan, social worker. I have worked for years with people who have suffered as a result of child abuse and with families who have those problems. This is a terrible problem in our society. I speak in favor of the resolution, and I would move that we close debate.
The chair recognizes microphone 2.
Yes, my name is Alice Ward, and I'm from Ohio. And I'd like to say that I've been a foster mother for 13 and a half years. In that time, we have had 57 children. I have seen abused children. I have also seen children picked up and held for a day, month, or years because of alleged child abuse. I have had children brought to me direct from the swimming pool, still in their swimming suits. These children were in foster care 2.5 years, plus drugged through several court proceedings. Children have been picked up because their mother spanked them for stealing from her purse. Did you know that spanking is now called child abuse? How many of you are guilty of child abuse? I have had very few children that did not need a spanking from time to time. Did you know that your child could be picked up at school and placed in foster care while you thought he was at school? I have seen this happen. They can also be placed in foster care if you send them to a private school instead of public school, if the courts do not agree on your choice of schools for your children. Did you know that there are notices placed in school principal's office that says it is mandatory for child abuse to be reported or the school nurse could lose her job? Child abuse, yes, there is some, but there are also many innocent children that get hurt in this big publicity campaign to turn in child abusers. This is child abuse to me.
I would like to remind you that one of the things we have agreed to do here is to listen to each other. Let's be courteous. Microphone one. Chair recognizes microphone one for the purpose of making an amendment.
I'm Kay Regan from the great evergreen state of Washington. I'm a mother of 5 of my own children and 5 foster children, and I have witnessed child abuse at first hand. That's why I took in these darling children. I move to substitute the following. We recommend adequate state and community funding be provided for protective services and specific training programs in prevention of neglect and abuse of children. We encourage the establishment of volunteer programs to assist appropriate agencies dealing with child abuse, since we feel that a major cause of child abuse is the breakdown of the family. We call for local programs which would strengthen the family and home. We also recommend the establishment of a local family court system to promote family integrity. We encourage prompt adjudication in handling child abuse cases. We recommend the establishment of effective central registries with the divisions of family services to coordinate child and parental treatment among hospitals, pediatricians, and other concerned parties and agencies. A public awareness program should be conducted. Educational programs for parenthood and counseling treatment for child abusers should be made available. Punishment for those who inflict injury or cause death to a child should be administered. I move this be passed.
Is there a second to this? Now, I will need to explain to you very carefully what happens now, because this...
Okay, I would like to move the question on the amendment now, please.
Is there a second? Okay. All right. All right, the question now before you. Listen carefully. Listen carefully, please. We're now in the middle of the most complicated thing we've done today. The question now is on closing debate on the amendment which was proposed. The amendment which deals with funding at a state and national level for the establishment of drop-in centers, which were open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, for free emergency shelter and care for any child or woman in crisis in every city of the United States. Those who wish to close debate on this question, say aye.
Aye.
Those who do not wish to close debate on this amendment, say no.
No.
The motion is carried. Debate is closed on this amendment. And the effect then is that I need to put to you the question on the adoption of this amendment. Just the amendment, you understand. We are not voting yet on adoption of the resolution on child abuse. We are voting now on the adoption of the amendment which would provide for the drop-in centers open 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. Those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
I'm going to ask you to rise so we can take a look. All those in favor of the amendment, please rise. I think you will. You may be seated. Everybody down. Those who are opposed to the adoption of the amendment, please rise. The motion is lost. Then to vote on the main motion, which is the one which appears before you on child abuse. Now, because debate was closed on it, it is no longer open to amendment. You remember, debate is closed, so I will put to you the question on the adoption. I sense now that the delegate body wishes to move on, and I am going to put to you the question on adoption of the main motion on child abuse. Everybody down. Everybody out of the aisles. Everybody down. Quickly. And be very quiet. Hurry up. There are people in the back milling around. You're slowing us down. I would remind you that it's 5 after 5. All those in favor of adoption of the motion, the resolution on child abuse, as it appears before you in the original version, page 4, please rise. You may be seated. Quickly, sit down. Everybody down. Everybody down. There's people standing in the back. All those opposed to the adoption of the resolution on child abuse, please rise. The resolution is clearly adopted. Before us at this point, the chair will recognize Commissioner Audrey Colomb for the purpose of introducing the resolution on child care.
Madam Chair, I move the adoption of the following recommendation. The federal government should assume a major role in directing and providing comprehensive, voluntary, flexible hour, bias-free, non-sexist, quality child care and developmental programs, including child care facilities for federal employees, and should request
and support adequate legislation and funding of these programs. Federally funded child care and developmental programs should have low-cost, ability-to-pay fee schedules that make these services accessible to all who need them, regardless of income, and should provide for parent participation in their operation. Legislation should make special provision for child care facilities for rural and migrant worker families. Labor and management should be encouraged to negotiate child care programs in their collective bargaining agreements. Education for parenthood programs should be improved and expanded by local and state school boards with technical assistance and experimental programs provided by the federal government. City, county, and or state networks should be established to provide parents with hotline consumer information on child care, referrals, and follow-up evaluations of all listed caregivers.